Today we continue that series on Psalms, and we continue with Psalm 3. Praying Our Trouble is the title for today, Praying Our Trouble. And Psalm 3 is the first prayer in the book of the Bible, in the book of Psalms. Because if you remember back to our previous sermons on the beginning of this series, Psalm 1, where Helen kicked us off with that great explanation of where the series is going and set the scene, Psalm 1 and then Psalm 2. Those are both psalms that sort of prepared us and prepare us and can orientate us for prayer. Psalm 1, orientating us personally for how we can pray, how we can come before God. And Psalm 2, orientating us about how we can respond and pray for the world. So now what we are doing is we're moving on and into prayer itself. And in the introduction to this, Eugene Peterson says, prayer begins with the realization that we cannot help ourselves, so we must reach out to God. Prayer begins with the realization that we cannot help ourselves, so we must reach out to God. And help, the cry help, the word help, is the most basic prayer. It is a prayer. And Psalm 3 is the first psalm. You will notice this if you look onto the psalm, page 500 or page 882, you will see that Psalm 3 is the first psalm to have a title in the italics at the top. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. And it's therefore linked with a historical event in the life of the great King David. We can read in detail about this particular event in 2 Samuel, the second book of Samuel, chapter 15, and the following chapters. And I thoroughly recommend a read of 2 Samuel. It is a very dramatic account of this family problem and all the blow-up of tragedy that is involved around it. David was in big trouble. He was in seriously big trouble. King David's son Absalom had initiated, he precipitated a coup, a sort of rebellion, that is, against his own father, King David. And he did that because he wanted to make sure that he would be the next king of Israel. And David, King David, had to flee Jerusalem, get as far away as he could when he heard about it, for his own safety and the safety of his family. David's throne and his life were at stake. And of course he had the added grief of knowing that it was his own son who betrayed him. Had God withdrawn from him? And remember, David wasn't just any old king. David was very clearly God's anointed king. Had God withdrawn from him? David was wondering that, as were maybe lots of the people. Has God withdrawn from King David? How would he cope with this rising tide of disloyalty? When we talk about praying our trouble, you can see, as I said earlier, David was in serious, deep, deep trouble. What do you do when things are really tough? When you face your own troubles. And I know that within this modest church family, because life is life, there are people here who are facing and face huge trouble, huge challenges. I guess sometimes we do pray, help me, Lord. As I said at the beginning, help, or Eugene Peterson said rather, help. That is the most basic prayer. But I wonder, With what sort of expectation and trust in the Lord do you and I say this prayer of help sometimes? Is there rather a lot of desperation in the prayer? I can understand that. Absolutely. Perhaps at other times we don't pray at all when we're in deep trouble, because it all feels too hugely overwhelming. And we sort of somehow bury our heads in the sand and keep going and hope it'll all go away. And we end up turning to other things instead. Maybe a bit of retail therapy. Or maybe eating. Or other unhealthy escapism. Anything to escape from our troubles. Maybe there's also a part of us that doesn't really think that God can or will help. And that's, I guess, when the desperation of our prayer turns in the wrong direction. It is a sort of a faithless desperation that just sticks a cry out there somewhere, but doesn't really think it's going anywhere. We can learn a lot from David's prayer, using this psalm as a model for our own. But the first thing we need to remind ourselves of is, as we said at the beginning, that we actually do need God's help. That we can't do it by ourselves. And that God in his heaven does not expect us or want us to try and do everything by ourselves. This is a family. And a family of God is a partnership, like any other good family should be. Like all people needing the help of others in whatever way, the first place we need to be in is a place of humility. In accepting our need for and then embracing that cry for help. Now, I understand this saying came up in the English Conversation Group on Friday. So those of you in the English Conversation Group on Friday, this last Friday, will remember it and know what I mean when I say, as the saying goes, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I understand in the Chinese culture, I understand there is a similar saying, you can take a cow to water, but you can't make it drink. Is that right? Am I more or less right on that? But anyway, we need to accept our need for help, don't we? We need to want to drink. Do you and I recognize our need for God's help each and every day? Because he is there, he is here, ready and waiting to hear us, to speak with us, to guide us and protect us. And when David's world was turned upside down, he turned to God. And in the first verses of this psalm, he lets it all out, telling God what the problem was. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help in God. He lets it all out, as a good cry for help should. The key is this. When life has troubles, just glance over those troubles, as someone said. But look clearly at God. Glance at the troubles, but look clearly at God. He may respond to those troubles in a different way to what we might expect. Our deliverance might come very unexpectedly. But there is nothing God cannot help us with, if and when we bring it to him. Because in bringing it to him, we are opening up ourselves and we are acknowledging and saying, yes, we want you to join in with this, God. And so he can help. God may take the problem away, or he may give us all the strength simply to face up to it and see it through. Verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. So however God answers prayer for us, he will be our strength and our shield. Be comforted and trust in the overwhelming love God has for you, that as you cry out to him in prayer, he heals, he hears, and will answer. David cried out to God as the one who was appointed by God as its rightful king, anointed very clearly by God to be king over Israel. He also cried out as a beloved child would to their father in a time of great need. To suddenly find yourself in a minority is a real test of nerve, isn't it? When you suddenly feel that everybody else is against you, it's a real test of nerve. And I'm sure everybody in some times of our lives feels that to be the case. Whether it's in college or family life or work life or whatever it might be. Or friends. Have you ever felt outnumbered? David realized that the numbers against him were growing, growing and growing and growing. He talks in this psalm about the thousands, the tens of thousands. And it was a very salutary place for him, as he thought the anointed king of Israel to be. So he utterly threw himself on God's mercy. And he understood his complete need for that help. Then if we continue into this prayer, this psalm, there is a pretty incredible response. When you think what was on David's mind at the time. Look at verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I lie down and sleep. Then verse 6. I am not afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me and all around. That is an incredible response. But friends, it is a true and real response. This is not just a response for the Bible, for the psalm, for us to read that it might have happened to King David. Because God is involved, this is a real response for me and for you, and can be an utter reality. I have spoken about this before when I preached specifically on the topic of anxiety. And how trying to cope with it on our own can lead to physical and emotional exhaustion. I can't remember whether I've said this before or not, but there have been some patterns down the generation in my own family, going back, I believe, right to the First World War, where my dear grandfather was deeply affected by shell shock. He was a driver in the trenches in France. And I have a very small diary of his. He hasn't written much in it. There are just two or three sentences recorded in different places of the trauma. And I believe that actually that trauma and the resulting anxiety meant in a way some sort of passed on habit of anxiety down through some of the generations, which I understand in some of the habits and reactions that I've had and have. I saw it in my father. They were wonderful, lovely, generous, kind people, but full of anxiety. And I know that I need constantly to ask for God's help so that I too can find his peace that passes understanding in order to live for the Lord. Our human habits are hard to shed sometimes, aren't they? And some of them may well have been passed down the generations. But I and all of us can be and are being healed all the time when we open ourselves up to the grace of God and his Holy Spirit. It is God's grace that helps us to heal from such things. Even though I know this side of heaven that I still have a long way to go, I am not, you'll realize, the perfect finished object. I do know, by God's grace, that I have come a very, very, very long way on the road to God's healing and wholeness because of knowing Jesus Christ. There would be no other way. And I also know that because of Jesus Christ, healing continues each and every day until we are made new in the new heaven and the new earth. As I've said time and time again, you and I are works in progress for the Lord each and every day. Oh, how good and beautiful it is when we can sleep and rest in peace, even when the troubles of the world are all around. I lie down and sleep, said David, in the middle of all of that. Amazing, that is God. I and you can find this. We can lie down and sleep and then wake again, for the Lord sustains me. Even if there are tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Oh, to have the certainty of David's prayer when facing such an overwhelming challenge. Well, we can have. When we remember our need for God, our utter dependence on God and our trust in God, and when we bring our troubles to him in prayer and cry in faith, help. This psalm ends with a blessing, a benediction. And in this blessing, David looks beyond himself. And he looks to God's care for his people and to the blessing of God, which goes far beyond the immediate problems you and I face every day in our lives. David was not being vengeful against his enemies. Look at verse 8, the last verse, a famous verse. Deliverance, vengeance belongs to the Lord. It is not for you and me to exact vengeance. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. And David was not being vengeful. David was trusting God for the just and right outcome. He was asking God to deliver him. And for David, as God's anointed and chosen king, this meant the defeat of his enemies in battle. Praise God. But also, for David, it meant the tragic death of his own son, Absalom. But the trust was in God's plan for deliverance, not in his own. God invites us to come to him with our troubles, to pour out our heart in prayer, just as David did. As the psalm says, God is our shield, God is our glory, and God is our hope. Remember, he may not always answer our prayers in the way that you might want or desire, but he will respond in the way that is best for me and for you. And the God who is love with that capital L, who loves you and me so much, will always love us in the way he answers prayer. We're going to sing later on this great, well-known hymn, old hymn, 1819, Joseph Scriven, or whenever it was. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And the second verse goes straight into this. Have we trials and temptations? David had plenty. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The first step is to recognize that in all the troubles of life and in every way, you and I need help, God's help. And Psalm 3 is a really good place to pray our troubles. Amen.